From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker, and what a show we have for you today. We'll talk with former Major League first baseman and outfielder Kevin Millar. He'll stop by, along with longtime New York Yankees TV announcer Michael Kay. He has a new book. He'll break it down for us. That plus foul or fair. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
All right, baseball's had enough. Apparently, this is it. We keep talking about Goo-Gate and foreign substances on the ball and spider tack and all that. But Major League Baseball said starting Monday, it will enhance its enforcement of the rules which prohibit applying foreign substances to the baseballs. And so the new guidelines is pretty simple. You can't do it. And even if you were doing it, there will be suspensions, although it's a 10-day suspension with pay, which doesn't sound that harsh. But, you know, you got to negotiate that stuff with the union. For them to want to, you know, implement this on the fly to kind of stop and give hitters a fair chance. We're seeing what's going on with baseball, with the hitting at an all-time low and strikeouts and pitchers dominating. So baseball's trying to get a handle on it, and they're not going to just wait till next year. They're trying to get this thing under control so that next year they can get it all figured out and get guys back to pitching without, you know, having to goo up the ball and do all these other things. I get the grip thing. But I think this ran amok and pitchers have gone haywire, so they got to be reeled back.
Number two.
I know the San Diego Padres are scuffling, having offensive issues, and, you know, still hanging tough in the tough NL West. But one guy who's not struggling is Fernando Tatis Jr. He continues to pound the baseball. And on Wednesday at Coors Field in Denver, Tatis hit what's estimated to be his longest home run of his career, 477-foot blast to help the Padres jump back into the game against the Rockies. And Tatis has had his share of injuries this year, but he continues to swing the bat at a historic pace. And Tatis was the first in the National League to reach the 20 home run mark. He is must-see TV. He's thrilling. He is great to watch. And the Padres just got to catch up to him. Their star is performing. They need the rest of the team to come around.
Number three.
Mets ace Jacob DeGrom was scheduled to start Wednesday night against the Cubs. And this guy, as you know, is chasing history and trying to put together the greatest ERA in the history of baseball, and so far it's been pretty incredible. You know, he is trying, basically, in order to beat the mark held by Bob Gibson, which was 1.12 ERA in 1968. Basically, DeGrom would have 20 more starts, only give up plus 19 more earned runs, and that would equal a 1.09 ERA. This is all, of course, that he averages six innings every start and those 20 more starts. There's a lot of things that have to go right, but he's definitely on a historic pace. It'll be good to see him get back on the mound, but his ERA is ridiculous. You know, and you just wonder if he'll be able to keep it up. Right now, going into Wednesday, he had an 0.56, the lowest of any pitcher through the first 10 starts of a season since earned runs became an official stat, you know, with a minimum of 50 innings pitched. So he returns to action for his 11th start Wednesday night at Citi Field against the Cubs.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Kevin Millar, the former Major League first baseman and outfielder and current co-host of the MLB Network show, Intentional Talk. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Well, what's going on, man? Appreciate you having me.
No doubt. Appreciate you jumping on. Before we get to some baseball, I know you're part of a big golf outing, the 2021 American Century Championship Tournament. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's like our Masters. And when I say our, it's all the athletes and, you know, I hate using the word, but celebrities that, you know, we get up there and we think we have a chance to win this event. And it's a fun time. American Century does such a wonderful time at the Edgewood Country Club in beautiful South Lake Tahoe. And if you haven't been up there, it's definitely a must, especially for summertime, because your cup of coffee is about 55 in the morning and it gets up to a whopping 80 degrees and the
wow.
smell of pine trees and golf in July. It's pretty awesome.
Man, sounds incredible. And the guest list is like A1. What, Patrick Mahomes, Charles Barkley, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Timberlake? I mean, wow.
Yeah, it, you know what? And some of these guys, like, they can play. I mean, when you're talking about Justin Timberlake, who he can put on a show and he's one of the greatest out there, but he gets on that golf course and everybody's competitive. You know, Pat, you can tell he's a little raw. And when I say a little raw, but 100% athlete, he's about probably a 9 to a 12 handicap. So it's not like he's a guy that has no idea where the ball's going. But you can tell in a few years, this guy's going to be tough. Steph Curry's amazing. He's like a scratch to a 1 handicap. And then you have your favorites, like, you know, Mark Mulder, Marty Fish, Tony Romo, John Smoltz, guys like that, Josh Gobe. They can shoot numbers that most of us can't. There's about 30 dudes that are about a 5 handicap in that mix. And then you have the really good guys that have a chance to win it every year. And then you got guys that just love it and they're trying to get better.
No doubt. All right. We appreciate that. But, Kevin, let's switch over to baseball. And obviously the controversy with the foreign substance on the baseball, the spider tack. What do you know about that? And how does that impact a pitcher pitching and, you know, the rotation of the baseball?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's been around. You know, the first thing you do when you're a pitcher is take off your glove when you get a new baseball and rub it up. And that's because of the grip. I mean, a brand new baseball is very slick. They put a little Mississippi mud on the ball and, you know, but they're not perfect. And so pitchers get the ball and they rub it up. So it's never been a problem whether you're using hair gel, mousse. You know, everybody's got different products in their hair, and then you start sweating, and they go behind the neck, or they get some sweat or rosin. Whatever it is, it's for a grip. Now, is it going too far to where now the numbers are starting to kind of creep up that it makes everybody scratch their head? I mean, we see a lot more 100-mile-an-hour velocities. The spin rate is way higher. That's the stuff that I don't know. You know, there's so many numbers in all of sports that now you start getting kind of over my L.A. City Junior College education at Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas. I don't know exactly if that matters, but I know that Major League Baseball is trying to get now everything on an even playing field. And that's where I think that you're starting to see. There's a lot of moving parts now. This isn't going to be perfect. What consists of somebody using something that you're not supposed to use? But I think that's the stance right now with Major League Baseball is just trying to get everybody on a level playing field. But my personal experience back in the day, it never bothered me because I'd rather them throw strikes than throw it at my face.
What happened to the rosin bag, Kevin? There used to be a rosin bag out there on the mound. I pitched Pony League. I used the rosin bag. Is that no good anymore?
Yeah, I mean, the rosin bag is what it's for, right? It takes off that humidity from your hand dripping and sweat and all that stuff. And then it leaks into, you know what, hair products and mousse and gel or whatever. And then all of a sudden it was like the pine tar rags from the players. You know, let me just get a little pack.
Right.
Well, now I have no idea. It's another world of whatever they're talking about. But it's definitely become an issue if this is becoming addressed the way it is.
Our guest is Kevin Millar, of course, the former Major League outfielder and first baseman and MLB Network show host, talking about pitching. Jacob DeGrom has a ridiculous ERA, 0.62 at last count, and he's moved into the favorite spot in Vegas to be the National League MVP. Where are you on that? Is there too many question marks with pitching going on? And should a pitcher win the MVP?
Yeah, I'm personally not a fan of it because the position player is going out there 160 plus, you know, games a year. I mean, obviously now it's more of the 145 to 50 games.
Right.
Seems like not everybody, you know, plays every game. But, you know, pitchers, if they make every start and it's a great year for them, it's 30 to 32 starts a year. I don't know if that, you know, grants an MVP. That's my opinion, though. You know, I play with a lot of pitchers, and I, you know, we joke around a lot, and the non-athletes. But there is a difference when you're attacking every fifth day than when a guy's going out there every day. Now, that being said, you need them. So the guys that go off and have these kind of numbers and dominate at another, you know, level, and there's not this slam dunk MVP. Yeah, now they're in the consideration. But my opinion, I like when a position player does win the MVP.
Yeah, I'm with you. You'd have to be so phenomenal to win the MVP both. But how about the National League West? You got three teams there. The Giants going into Tuesday night, they were in first place. Then you had the Dodgers one game out and the Padres four games out. Can all three of those teams make the playoffs in the National League?
Yeah, you know, the Giants are probably the biggest surprise going in baseball because all we talked about was the Padres and Dodgers coming into the offseason. We have, obviously, you know, all the stars that are on the Padres and the Darvish and Blake Snell situation. The Dodgers, their depth, you know, looked amazing to start the year when you're talking about Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw, you know, the sign of Trevor Bauer, Dustin May, Julio Urias, all these young studs. May goes down. Dodgers go through an injury scene just like half of the league's gone through, but yeah, they can make it. And that's what I think that the great thing this year with baseball is the parity. I don't think there's a slam dunk best team end of story. I thought the Dodgers were way better than everybody else. And then it was the rest of baseball. But even that isn't the case. You still got to play the game.
No doubt. Kev, last thing, the All-Star balloting has come out, the first phase. And Mookie Betts right now, if it was, you know, if we were to close the balloting, he would not be a starter in the outfield in the National League. He did get off to a slow start. Do you expect him to catch up and be a starter, or will his slow start hurt him and not make him a starting outfielder for the National League?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's where the fans speak up. And, you know, I mean, obviously there is a lot of competition in the outfield, especially, you know, for the All-Star games. And you're looking at guys like Ronald Acuna Jr. and whoever else you're going to try to name out there, and it becomes straight, you know, the fans' vote. So Mookie, I know, has a great team he plays for in the Los Angeles Dodgers, so I'm sure the fans are going to make a huge push in trying to get him in a starting rotation there in Coors Field.
All right, his name, Kevin Millar. Check him out on the MLB Network. Intentional Talk weekdays on MLB Network. Thanks, Kev. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Thanks, Robbie.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
I know we all got acquainted with being at home last year, but I think baseball in 2021 has taken it one step too far. Even if the league win percentage on the road this season isn't near the all-time depths, we've seen some team performances that are rewriting record books. Right now, the Colorado Rockies, who are a very respectable 21-14 at home, are 5-27 on the road. That 156 win percentage would be the worst road record for any team in MLB history, beating the 1935 Boston Braves. And we're only in the middle of June, but the Rangers, Orioles, and Diamondbacks have all had losing streaks of at least 15 games on the road this season, the first time that mark has ever been reached by three teams in a single year. And Arizona especially, my goodness, they've struggled away from Chase Field. Their loss on Monday in San Francisco was their 20th straight loss on the road, just the fourth team ever to suffer that indignity, and the first since the 1963 Mets, who, along with the 43 Philadelphia Athletics, own the all-time record with 22 straight road losses. But on the other side, after Monday's win in Chicago, the Tampa Bay Rays own a 24-10 mark on the road, the best win percentage from an AL team since the 0-1 Mariners tied a record with 116 wins that season. We'll see if teams get more comfortable in their hotels in the season's second half.
That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it!
Or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
Jazz Chisholm Jr. has been electrifying fans as a rookie since opening day. He's been promoted as one of the new fresh faces of baseball with a combination of tools and charisma that makes him must-see TV. But currently, he's only in 10th place among National League second basemen in the All-Star voting. JR, is it foul or fair to say that Jazz Chisholm Jr. is getting a raw deal?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Jazz has got the blue hair. He's got the stolen bases. He has the OPS over 800. We have named him over at MLB Bro, the Bahamian Blur. He's pure excitement. And just what the game is looking for. Adam Frazier and Gene Segura, veterans, they're having great years hitting for high average. But Jazz, with his 8 home runs, multiple digit steals, he definitely shouldn't be behind someone like Colton Wong in the National League voting for second baseman. When Chisholm's on the base path, the crowds get pumped. I've seen him. He's very marketable. He's just what MLB's been waiting for. I have to blame the Miami Marlins franchise and Derek Jeter for this kid not getting more votes. They're still unappealing to fans. They're not exciting. They are in last place. Last I checked, though, he had a little over 70,000 some odd votes. And the leader, Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves, was hitting 16 points lower, but he almost had 300,000 votes. I know there are other formidable candidates to play second base for the National League in the 2021 All-Star Game, but it's a tragedy that rookie Jazz Chisholm is not considered a top five second baseman by the fans at this point, and hopefully by the time season's end, they'll recognize their mistake, or if we go out there and stuff them ballot boxes a little, maybe he can elevate his position, but he has a long way to go.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
We'll be racing out of the box here on a Friday afternoon into the nighttime. I don't know what the hell's wrong with your New York Yankees, but they are laboring right now. Just two games over 500. And they're going to be slight underdogs against the Oakland A's. But I will take the Bronx Bombers in this one. Take the Yankees at home on that money line. First pitch for them is at 7:05 Eastern. Dodgers right now will be in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Arizona has been laboring. They're one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. It doesn't matter if there's sticky substance on his fingers or not. I'm thinking Trevor Bauer and the Dodgers are taking this one. So I got the Brew Crew in that affair. In fact, I will take Los Angeles and the run line in this one as the victor. Other game I want, San Diego Padres at home with Chris Paddock on the bump. Paddock so far this season, sub 500 at 3-5 with an ERA at 4.14, but the offense has been consistently good. And of course, the San Diego Padres have one of the better bullpens in all of Major League Baseball, let alone the National League. I'm taking the Padres, the Dodgers, and the New York Yankees at home on Friday.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast a longtime friend of mine, the great voice of the New York Yankees on television, the Yes Network. Of course, he has a radio show, the Michael Kay Show in New York. And he has a TV show called The Center Stage on the Yes Network. Mr. Michael Kay, what's up, Mike?
Rob, how you doing, my friend?
Man, doing great. And for people who don't know, Mike and I, we cut our teeth in the newspaper business back in the 80s. We covered St. John's basketball together back in those days.
Well, St. John's was good.
That's right. Mark Jackson was on that team, if you remember, right?
Oh, yeah. They're the Final Four teams.
No doubt. But, Mike, let's get to you have a new book, which I'm excited to read. It's called Center Stage, My Most Fascinating Interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. Tell us about the book and why we should pick it up.
Well, I had a vocal cord surgery like 2 years ago, and I couldn't talk for 6 weeks, so I was depressed and watching other people do my job. So I did a lot of reading, and one of the books I read was Howard Stern Comes Again, which was, you know, he took snippets from a lot of the interviews he's done over the years on radio and just took out the best lines. And I started to think, you know what, we've done 240 interviews on Center Stage. The whole interviews are interesting, so I decided to take the 35 best ones out of the 240 and then write the backstories leading in to the transcripts of the interviews, like how the people were, how it was to get them, as a guest, how they treated the people, how they acted with me, the backstory in getting them as guests. And, there's some really interesting stories there that give you some insight on how people have evolved. Like, you know, the A-Rod part of the book, Rob.
Yes.
That interview was conducted in 2003 when he was at the Texas Rangers. So it was kind of interesting to see some of his answers to some of the questions. And you could try to read between the lines and see if it foreshadowed anything that would have happened in the remainder, of the next 20 years. So that's what makes some of the interviews really, really interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait. I've watched the show on the Yes Network, and it sounds like it'll be fascinating, especially with the people you have talked to. But everybody knows your main gig is doing TV and doing the Yankee games, something that, Mike, I remember even when you were a reporter for the New York Post, always talking about of what you wanted to do, and to have that job. How long have you had it now?
You ready for this?
Yeah, I can't believe it, but
this is my 30th year.
No, it's not. Is it really? Mike, I cannot believe that. Wow.
Yeah, time's flying too fast.
That is amazing. I don't even think, growing up in New York as we did, Rizzuto, Bill White, and Frank Messer, I don't think those guys even put in 30 years, did they?
Let's see. So Phil started in like 57. So
maybe he
and
did.
He ended in 96. So he had a long run.
Right, but the original three that I always remembered as a kid with Bill White and Frank Messer. I don't think those guys.
That's
probably, right. Those three.
I think that in terms of continuous service, I think John Sterling's done 33 years, and I think somebody told me that he has the record now. So I'm 3 years behind.
Unbelievable. But let's talk about the Yankees, who have had ebbs and flows. But the Yankee offense is just hard to watch. What is wrong with the offense, Mike?
Well, I think all around baseball, offense is down. And the only way you're going to win is if you're able to create runs. And the Yankees are a one-trick pony. They either hit home runs or they don't win. So a lot of the guys in the lineup, which is extremely right-handed, it's unbalanced. They just have been shut down like most hitters in baseball. And they don't have the ability to run bases. They've been caught on – they've made outs on bases 31 times, Rob, and the major league average is 18. So, they've just blown away the competition. They try to advance to third when they're a runner at second and a ball set in front of them. They just do things that are fundamentally unsound. They don't play good defense either. So the fundamentals aren't there. They have no speed on the team. The only real athlete on the team is Aaron Judge. So their secret to success is going to be to hit home runs. They have not been able to do that. So their hope now is that with the crackdown on the sticky stuff, maybe that brings the pitchers around baseball down a notch and maybe the home runs start to come again. But another impediment toward that is that, the baseball on purpose has been deadened. They didn't want as many home runs. So it might just be one of those years where they were caught between all of these rules changes and this team is not built to create runs. But it'll be interesting to see the injury to Corey Kluber hurts, the injury, the groin injury to Luis Severino, who's about to come back in about 3 weeks. That sets him back. That hurts as well, so we'll see. But they have an uphill climb because they've really buried themselves over the first 60-some-odd games.
How about you just talked about the sticky stuff and Goo Gate and where we are. Gerrit Cole was not a great press conference when he refused to answer. You got to answer the direct question, and he didn't know how to answer it. But it's not just him, but the whole spider tack, this whole thing. Did you know this was going on, Mike, or is this? I'm telling you, pitchers always use rosin. I knew that they use mud to rub up the balls and pine tar. But this spider tack, is this commonplace?
Well, I mean, we knew something was going on with the spin rate, Rob. I mean, it's been the dirty little secret in baseball. I think that's what has upset a lot of the players. It's kind of like a wink, wink. This rule has been on the books forever. You can't put any foreign substance on the ball. And pitchers first started putting foreign substances on the ball to get a better grip. So they would use a combination of rosin and sunscreen. And that was not easy to weaponize and turn it into increased spin rate. But with the advent of Rapsodo machines where they can actually show what a pitch does and how a spin rate actually makes a pitch better, they've discovered, the stickier the stuff, the greater the spin rate, the greater the spin rate, the more break on a breaking ball, and the more a ball stays on the same plane on a four-seam fastball. So it does make you better. And anybody in baseball that says they're surprised, well, Trevor Bauer laid it all out a couple of years ago. He pretty much said that this is what's going on around baseball, and then pitchers just started to do it. But in terms of, sticky stuff, it's been going on forever. And it's going to be interesting to see now that they're even outlawing sunscreen and rosin, are you going to see more hit batters? Because are people going to be able to control the baseball? Al Leiter told me that in a city like Denver, where there's no humidity whatsoever in high altitude,
right,
or on a cold day, picking up a baseball is like picking up a cue ball. You just cannot get a grip, and it flies out of your hand. So now you're taking it all away from pitchers cold turkey and say, go get them. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the game.
Yeah, this is going to be a definite issue. I guess Michael Kay, New York Yankees announcer for the Yes Network. And last thing, Mike, on the Yankees, is this team, and they've had a lot of success, gotten to the playoffs, gotten to the ALCS. They probably got cheated by the Astros at one point, could have made the World Series. But with what's going on, is this a GM problem or a manager problem? And you talked about the defense and some of the other stuff that's going on. What is, if you had to pick one of the two, which one is this?
Well, I'll say this with a caveat. I am a Brian Cashman fan. I think he's done a wonderful job in his years as Yankee GM. But this is a roster composition problem.
Okay.
I think in baseball, Rob, the way baseball is right now, the manager is not Earl Weaver. It's not Billy Martin. It's a middle manager position. You are carrying out the orders of the analytic groups in front offices. And, in the Yankees' case, it's not like Aaron Boone's a puppet. Aaron Boone believes in this stuff. Those are the rules of engagement of getting this job. He believes in the numbers. So he's just putting the numbers in play on the field. So I think that a 28-year-old baseball player should know how to run the bases. I don't think it falls on the coaches and the manager. I think that this team has been suspiciously constructed where it's just right-handed. It's easy to pitch to with right-handed relievers. There's no balance from the left side. And you grew up in New York. All great Yankee teams have a lot of left-handed batters to take advantage of the short ports. This team does not. They have a 37-year-old Brett Gardner. They have Rougned Odor, who was actually released by the Rangers. They're paying his salary for 2 years. And Tyler Wade, who's really a defensive and a speed guy. So this is an oddly constructed roster. So I would have to say it's on the front office more than it's on Boone.
His name is Michael Kay, one of the best in the business. His new book, Center Stage, My Most Fascinating Interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. Where can people pick up the book, Mike?
Actually, there are still bookstores, which I've discovered, and that's kind of cool. And people buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, so you order it one day, it's at your front door the next. So far, yesterday was the first day it was released, and it's doing very well, and I'm kind of proud of it, and I think people would like it.
Man, I can't wait to pick it up. my friend Michael K. I appreciate you, Mike. We'll see you down the road, okay? I'll see you in the Bronx.
We miss you on the East Coast, my friend.
Man, thank you. Appreciate it. Miss you, too.
Be well.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball. A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones Witten. An interesting dynamic to this season's campaign has been how most people around the league projected the Cubs to tank away the season after trading Yu Darvish. However, they've actually emerged as contenders. The Cubs find themselves in an extremely interesting position. On one hand, they can move forward this season with what they have and try to add on some pitching. Or, on the other hand, they can move some of their big names and accumulate assets for the future. When you look at their roster, several names stand out as players of interest around the league. The top name being Chris Bryant. He will be a free agent after this season and is having a very productive year so far. He has a .292 batting average to go along with a .915 OPS. He's versatile in the field, being able to play both third base and left field, which could be extremely helpful to another team with title hopes. My personal thoughts on the direction they should take is to play it all the way up to the deadline. And if they continue to keep winning, move forward with what you have. Worrying too far in the future can compromise the present, especially in a sport such as baseball. It's my belief to capitalize on the moment. And after a 108-year title drought, if there's any team in the league who could share my same sentiments, my guess, it would be the Cubs.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.